Good evening. Good to see all of those who are here with us on tonight. Good to see our visitors who are here with us. We want you to know you are an honored guest. We are so grateful you decided to be here to worship here with us at DeGaulle Drive Church of Christ. If you don't mind and you have a moment, there should be some cards in front of you. If you could take a moment to fill one of those out so we can have a record of your attendance, we would greatly appreciate it. And please stick around. Allow us the opportunity to get to know you just a little bit better. Should you have any question about anything that we preach here, anything that we do in our worship services, you have the right to question it. So please ask your questions, direct them to myself or one of the elders or deacons, and we'll be sure to give you a Bible answer for a Bible question. As of the past few weeks, we've been studying the aspect of worship. We've been studying the aspect of worship, and so that's exactly where we're picking up tonight from what we studied this morning. And we talked about the one of the most powerful tools that God has given to man is his mouth. And with that ability, he has with his mouth, he has many abilities. And one of the greatest ones that we recognize, one could argue is most powerful, is the aspect of creating music. And we noted that music is not only limited to instrumental, but also is vocal. And so we recognize several things about music and how it has an effect in our lives and how it makes some differences with us on a consistent basis and how much we intake music on a daily and weekly basis. And so we understood the power of it. And then we broke it down into we wanted to focus on the aspect of vocal music. Vocal music, which is singing, which we just partook in and participated in with Brother Wes leading us. We wanted to focus on that aspect. And we noticed, first of all, in order to be acceptable to God, we need vocal activity in our singing, which means that we have to participate and not just be spectators in the worship service while we are singing. We must also participate, and so our voices must be lifted up. And then we noted that we also must have emotional activity. Our emotions need to be intact, and we need to be filling the words which we are singing, under singing, also with understanding, which brings us to our third point on tonight, which we won't be very long. We're going to finish this point, and then the lesson will be yours. Acceptable singing is going to be done with mental activity. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. We've noticed this verse in our last point, but now we want to once again focus in on it and notice just something else as it pertains to the mental aspect of which we're going to talk about. And we'll read it just here very, very briefly so we can get an understanding for each one who was not here on this morning. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15 says, "For what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with understanding also." So he wants us to sing with the spirit and also wants us to sing with understanding also. And so this word understanding here in this passage is the Greek word nous. The Greek word nous is here for understanding, which means mind. It's talking about the mind. And so most literally, we're talking about the mind, the mental aspect of understanding, where it tells us directly that we need to sing with understanding. The mental aspect needs to be in place when we read this passage and understanding the Greek word of that. And so the mental aspect is what we judge. We judge and we determine and decide our rational faculties about things. And so acceptable singing is clearly stated that our mental capacities need to be involved as well as our spirit. And we think about the mind. What is the mind also referred to? That's also referred to biblically as our hearts. So when one says we ought to sing with our heart, we're talking about with our mind, with our mental capacity. And so the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, here in this chapter, they also sang. They also sang, but what they did was they sang in spirit, but they did not sing. They did not sing with the mind. They did not sing with the mind as to understand, because some of them were speaking in different languages. Some of them were speaking in tongue, in unknown languages, rather, to where others could not understand. And Paul says, this is a great thing that you can do it, but it's no good here, because it's not edifying the congregation. It's not edifying anyone that you should be able to do that. It's better for one to be able to prophesy, for all to be able to understand and to be edified and to be encouraged, for all to be able to partake. There's no benefit in one singing things that we have no idea about what is being said. It's just like me standing before this audience, getting up here, talking and preaching in Spanish. Some of us are going to understand it, but the vast majority of us are not. It's foreign to us. We don't understand it. And so he makes it clear that we need to have a good understanding of that about which we are singing. We must sing with our minds to determine what the words mean, what the words means, or else we will fall victim to the same things that the Corinthians fell victim to, and it will benefit us nothing to sing without the proper understanding. How can we truly sing with the heart? How can we truly sing with the heart or be edified without proper understanding? How can one do that? The answer to that is that we can't. To some of us, it might be the case for us that we do sing some songs that are in the unknown language because we have no idea what the song is speaking about. We have no idea what it means, what it's saying. And so therefore, we ought not to just say, I don't know what it means, and therefore, I'm just in limbo. We ought to go and figure it out. Take the time, do our homework, figure out what the song is saying. Because guess what? The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians, Colossians 3:16, also Ephesians 5:19, tells us that we are singing songs and hearing spiritual songs. So we are teaching with what we sing. We're teaching as well. And so if we don't understand what we are singing, how can we know, though? How can we say to, we might be teaching somebody else something that's false? Accidentally, we can become false teachers by what we're singing. We have to monitor that. We have to make sure that we have a proper understanding about that which we are singing. There's a song. There's a song called Sweet Beulah Land. There's a song called Sweet Beulah Land. And Beulah Land, when I first heard this song, I had no idea what Beulah Land was. Had no idea. And so I sung it a few times, and I said, you know what? I have to figure that out. What is Beulah Land? I'm singing it, and it's coming up time and time and time again. And for the longest, I wondered what it was, but I had to eventually say, I'm going to go and figure out what that is. And so Beulah Land. Beulah Land refers to God reconciling himself with Jerusalem. And so in this moment, they are in a state of joy, enjoyment. They are excited. They are very happy that God has decided to reconcile themselves to Jerusalem. They're going back to their home. They're going to be with God once again. They're going to be protected. They feel very great about that. And so they sing about it, their newfound joy that they have. Isaiah 62 and verse 4 makes mention of Beulah Land. We can read about that there. So Beulah Land, there's other songs that also mention the same Beulah Land as well. And so when you hear that or something that you don't understand or don't know, you make sure you go and see what it's about. See it in context. There's another song. There's other songs, well, multiple songs that talk about break thou the bread of life. Break thou the bread of life. Depending on the context of which the song is being sung, sometimes it'll be talking about reference to the Lord's Supper. But then most times it's often going to be talking about the teachings of the Lord, his word, and not necessarily the actual bread, breaking of bread, when we talk about the Lord's Supper. It's figurative. It's talking about breaking of bread, the bread of life, the God's word, his inspired word. And so we have to be careful and make sure we're getting the proper understanding of these songs when we sing them. We're marching to Zion. Do we understand that? Where is Zion? Do we know where we're going when we say we're going there? Or are we just singing? We're just going along with what everybody else is doing. Do we have a proper understanding about what we're saying? When we have a proper understanding, we'll be joyfully singing that song. We're marching to Zion, the city of holiness, where God's protection is all around his people. We're marching to Zion. What about Ebenezer? When we sing songs that involve Ebenezer, do we know what we're talking about when we say that? There's a multitude of songs that have some very interesting phrases or sayings, and it's not uncommon for all of us to not normally, to not know instantly exactly what those means, but rather we need to go and figure it out. Do a little research, do a little homework, so we can understand and sing with the proper understanding about what this hymn is saying. We must sing with the mind, my friends. We must sing with the mind. We must sing with the proper understanding. And so today, I because I'm putting this on your plate, because I'm putting it on your mind, it'll be on your mind for quite some time. I hope that's the case. And should we be in worship service and we continue and we lead songs that you don't know something about it, and it continues to be the case that you don't know anything about it, take that up with Brother Howard. That's not me. Take that up with him. Take that up with Brother Wes. If you don't know something, I'm just giving you I'm giving you the steps in order of which we need to take. Now, I'm not picking the songs. So if we don't understand some things, then blame those guys and talk to them afterwards. But I'm just the messenger to help us understand. We need to know what we're singing. We need to know what we're singing when we're singing to the Lord. Most importantly, my friends, our minds and our lives, we need to, in understanding these songs, we need to be able to understand where they can help us in our lives. As we said, it's a teaching. It's a teaching mechanism. It also helps us as well when we sing them. If our emotions are attached to it, it pricks us. It pricks us at times when we know that maybe even we have fallen out of line with some things, or maybe when we think and reflect on the great sacrifice that the Lord has done. Whatever the song is presenting to us, it helps us. And it helps us to reflect on our own lives and see where we need to improve, where we can make the work, where we need to make the necessary changes. That's important. And so that goes into making sure that we understand what we are singing, speaking to one another in songs and hymns and in spiritual songs. Let's look at 2 Peter. Let's take a look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 through 10. There are many areas. There are many areas of Christian graces where we all need to grow, and Peter lays them out for us very finely. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. And it reads, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For these things be in you and abound, that they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Boy, Peter gives us a mouthful there of things that we all can make sure that we need to improve on, and we're making sure that we're growing in. Gives us a lot of Christian graces of which we need to grow. As I was writing this sermon, as I was thinking and pondering on this sermon, I just thought about the aspect of which we already talked about this morning. I thought about how powerful music is, how powerful it is, how powerful it is to our society. And I just thought that God knew exactly what he was doing. God knew exactly what he was doing in having us to sing and making this an aspect of worship. Because when you think about the power of music even further, we use it for several things. It helps us to memorize. When I was in school, we had to memorize the Greek alphabet. We also had to do the same with the Hebrew alphabet. And what I did with that was I looked up a song. I looked up a song in order to help me to memorize that, because quite frankly, I just wasn't getting it just by reading those along. It helped me to understand it better and to put it in my mind when I put that song there. Then I was able to, from the song, be able to break it down and then just say it regularly without singing the tune, but it helped me. The song, the aspect of singing, was able to help me to get that down. I know Miss Cheryl, she uses it for the books of the Bible. She can sing that song to you right after service if you wanted to. a lot of people use it for the books of the Bible. We use it as a memorization tool. We use songs to help us to memorize things. And as I said, if I was to say, hey, memorize five verses for me, five scriptures, that'll be a difficult task for a lot of people. A lot of people say, well, you know, I just can't do it. But if I told somebody to go memorize five songs and you have 2 months to do it, a lot of people will be able to do it. It's just the way it works. How does it, why does it happen the way that it is? I don't know, but it's very powerful. It's something about singing. It's something about singing, and God made sure that we used it in worship to him. There's a song called the Greatest Commands. The Greatest Commands. If you want to learn scripture, in fact, if I gave you these scriptures, all you would have to do is go to this song and then you learn it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, if you want to learn that. Also, some of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that whole song is just scripture. It's just scripture, verbatim from 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 8. Undertones of that song, it uses 1 Corinthians for some of the passages there. A wonderful thing are the hymns that we sing. When you think about a person who is singing, tells us sometimes a lot about people. If we catch a person singing, do we generally think that they're in a good mood or a bad mood? A good mood, right? Nobody should be singing in a bad mood, right? Nobody should be singing in a bad mood. If somebody's singing in the shower, we know they are in a great mood. People shouldn't just be singing and being sad. And James writes about that. James tells us about that. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 13, he says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Let him sing songs. Is anyone cheerful? One who's cheerful is going to sing. One who's cheerful ought to be singing, because you have a lot to be cheerful about, especially when we talk about singing hymns, spiritual songs, giving God praise, giving him honor. My friends, hopefully something was said this morning to help us, this evening rather, to help us to come to a better understanding of what we're doing when we're singing and what we need to be doing when we're singing. So let us all go forward. Let us all go forward looking to make this improvement. Make this improvement. As I said before, an instructor by the name of Curtis Case, he once said, he says, the biggest room in my life is the room for improvement. And I've never forgotten that. That holds true with me. Certainly it can hold true with all of us. There's always room for improvement. It's never a time that we should feel so bad about ourselves because we don't have some of these things that maybe we preach on or talk about sometimes. Everybody has something that they struggle with, but we all have room for improvement, and we need to be willing to make those necessary improvements. We want to remember this one thing. Remember this one thing, that one of the activities that's going to be taking place in eternity is singing. Is singing. And so we need to make sure that we're getting plenty of practice while we're here, so that when we're in eternity, everything will be just fine. When you think about us going to our eternal destination, going to heaven one day, many people say that they want to make it into heaven. Many people say that they want to be there, but what they don't realize, I think that they don't realize, and maybe they fail to realize it for what reason, I don't know, but heaven is church all day long. Amen. Heaven is church all day long. And if we don't like church now, that's not a good place for you. That's not a good place for you. So a lot of people out in the world just think, oh, we would love to be in heaven. Oh, we're all going to heaven one day. Well, I think you ought to start coming to church. Because if you want to make it up there, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. And if you have no idea about it, then there's no way that you can make it there. There's no way that you can make it there. Are you one who's here tonight, who's not yet a part of the body of Christ? The Lord extends his invitation to you. He extends his invitation to you. He wants you to be a part of his kingdom. He wants you to be in heaven with him one day. He wants you to have salvation. But you have to be a part of his church. You have to be a part of his church. He says there's some steps in which you must take. You must hear his word. That builds up your faith. He says once you have the faith, believing in him, he says then you repent of your sins. Turn those old things aside. Forget what you've done. And be sorrowful for the things that you've done. Have godly sorrow and then change your actions. Don't just continue in that which you've been doing, but change your actions. He says, and then, my friends, confess him to be the Son of God and then be baptized. Once you've been baptized, you'll be added to his body, added to his church, the only church that you can read about in the Bible, the only church that he gave his life for, the only church that he went to the cross, the only church that he talked to Peter about. Says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's only one. You can be a part of that one true church today. You can know that you have your election is sure. You can know assuredly that you can make it to heaven. You can know that. Lord says you'll be faithful to your dying day. I'll give you a crown of life. What might tomorrow bring? Today might be your last opportunity. If that was the case, you put Christ on in baptism tonight. There it is, you're saved. From that moment that you were baptized, my friends, you were faithful. Or are you one who's here, who's already a member of the body of Christ, needing forgiveness for some things that you've done wrong in your life? Maybe it's the case that you've been here in body, but not in spirit. You have the opportunity to make yourself right. Us as the members of the body of Christ, we're not going to know what's going on in your mind. We're not going to know all those things that take place while you're here in worship, but God does. God does. He knows what's in your heart. He knows if you've been worshiping him properly as you ought. You have an opportunity to make yourself right now. Won't you come now as we together stand and sing invitation song.